I'm Gene. I didn't just jump up here and steal the mic. I've been given the privilege of speaking tonight. I thought we had lost our cat for good earlier today, because a strange dog ran into our house and up the stairs. I don't know if you guys have ever had that happen. It's the first time in my life just a random dog walked into our house. And the dog was really happy about it. And the dog had decided that we were all friends, but the cat had decided that the dog was not to be a friend. And he turned sideways and he puffed up all his fur. And then he took off, and for several hours he didn't come back. And we used to have a cat. The cat's name was Lilybug. And Lilybug was horrible. And I love cats, but I would say Lilybug was horrible. She didn't like us, any of us. And we had to move for a whole lot of different reasons. We had to move out to my in-laws' house and live with them for a little bit. And when we moved away, we left the cat with the in-laws. And it was like once bitten, twice shy. I love cats. I grew up in a house with many, many cats. I had about 13 cats at one stage. Not me personally, my mum, and I was worried my mum was going to be a crazy cat lady. But she hasn't yet. But there's still time, mum, you can do it. And so we got rid of Lily, and I didn't really want to have another cat, but got brave, and now we have Jack. What's his name? Jackson Octopus. Because one time Micah, my son, called him, said, "Jack is an octopus." And Therese heard Jackson Octopus. And so we call him Jackson Octopus now. And that's his name. And he turned up. And now I've got to try and draw that into an opening for a message. And I'm going to say this, that the thing my cat did was when something came into the house that made the house not feel like it should, he defended the house. He looked after the house. He was like, "That's not supposed to be in here. That's not supposed to be in here." And he got aggressive about it. Turn around, kick his fur, like that. How often do we let things into the house of God that shouldn't be here? When was the last time you got defensive for the house of God? When was the last time you protected this place, this temple of God here? Because we've all got a temple inside, right? But as we gather together, this is also a temple. And there seems to be something special about this time as we gather together as a body. There's something that God does different. When was the last time you protected that space? This space, sorry. When was the last time you turned sideways at something and you poked your fur up and you said, "You're not going to do that in here"? Because, you know, in Psalm 121, it says, "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." In other words, the hills represent the foreign gods, the Asherah poles, the places of false religion that were part of the Israel nation. And the writer of Psalm 121 is saying, you know, "I see those hills there, but I'm going to look past them and I'm going to look up to God, and I'm going to proclaim that He's God, that He protected His place." If there's anything I've learned about God over the years, it's that one day everything can look dark and hopeless, and the next day everything can be filled, vivid, full of light. And I'm fully aware that people can come to church and they can be hurting and have troubles. And they come into church needing answers and hope. And the one thing I say with all my heart, with everything I have, is don't lose that hope. Because one day can be pitch black and the next day can be vivid light. And I just from all, so many experiences that I've had through life, I have seen that change. I've seen that change so many times. What you have in your hands, what you have is sufficient in God's hands for a miracle. You know, Moses, when he was leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and he was there in front of the Red Sea, all he had was a stick. When David defeated Goliath, he couldn't even wear the armor. He couldn't hold the sword. They tried to put it on him. He's like, I can't move like this. And he went at Goliath with 5 stones and a sling. When Jesus fed the 5,000, all he had was 5 small loaves and 2 fish. You know what? The boy had 5 small loaves and 2 fish. I love that story. I love that boy. He's like the hero of that story to me. We don't know too much about him. We don't know his name or how old he actually was. But we do know he was present and he had 5 loaves and 2 small fish. And in my head, I kind of see him waking up one day, having heard of Jesus. And he needs to be there. There's some things that we can infer from the story. It's in John 6. That he was probably alone. Because when they took the loaves and the fish off him, his parents weren't anywhere to be seen. He really wanted to hear Jesus speak. And thirdly, unlike everybody else, he was intending to stay there for a while because he brought some food along with him. That's profound, isn't it, really? That out of everybody there, he was the only one who thought, I'm going to be with Jesus for a while. How often do we rush in and rush out? You ever pack a lunch when you go to be with Jesus? No, not really, eh? We kind of fit Jesus around our lifestyle. He woke up one day, said, Mom, I've got to go see this Jesus. She said, oh, look, I'd love to go with you, but I'm kind of busy right now. I've got some washing to do and got to cook dinner and do all those kind of things. So why don't you just grab some loaves, some small loaves. I've got like 20. Take 5 and a couple of those small fish. Leave the big fish for Dad. He likes his big fish. He's a big fish, so he needs a big fish. And he took them all and he chucked them into his Pikachu-shaped backpack, slung it on his back, and jogged down the road to see Jesus. And he kept jogging and jogging. And eventually he got there. And he thought, maybe he could, like, he just got there and there were people everywhere. He counted at least 40 men, but there could have been a lot more. He didn't know it. It was 50,000, but like 5,000. But there was like he's young. He's not a very good counter, and he was just doing his best. But he could tell that there was a long distance between him and Jesus, and Jesus was kind of up on a mountain, kind of up the side of the mountain. But the good thing about only being like 9 or 10 years old is you can kind of duck around people and weave through people. And he wanted to get close enough to Jesus to hear him. He wanted to get close enough to hear that voice. Because he had heard about how Jesus had healed a blind person A lame person had a temple. And how Jesus had, Jesus had asked the guy, hey, why don't you want to be healed? And the guy said, look, no, I've got no one to lay me into the pool. There was a special pool there. And every now and again, the water stirred. And if you got put into the waters around that time, you got healed. And he was waiting there at the side of the pool for someone to pick him up and put him into the water, but no one ever did. And Jesus said, tell you what, how about you just pick up your mat and walk? And the guy actually got up in front of everybody there in the temple grounds. This man got up, took his mat and walked. And the word had got back to this young boy and he thought, far out, if I can just get to Jesus and I can hear his voice, I wonder what he'd say to me. But there were so many people. It took him a long time to get up to Jesus. In fact, by the time he got to Jesus, he could see this commotion around Jesus. And Jesus was talking to his disciples. And he could hear him say something about lead. And then he thought, no, actually, I think he's saying bread. Something about not having any bread to feed all these people. And he looked around, 4,999 men. He was counting as he went. He started with 40s, like 41, 42, like this. He got to 4,999, which is pretty close considering there was 5,000. I think he did a good job. No one came forward with anything to give to Jesus. But he had a backpack with some food in it. Pikachu doesn't eat a lot. You've got to understand this moment. It's actually pretty big. 5,000 men, okay, so there's probably women and children as well, so it could be any like 15,000 people maybe. It was a big crowd. Do you think it would have been, like if Jesus said we need food to feed 15,000 people, if you had some little loaves and a couple of fish in your backpack, that you would have felt very proud, confident about taking that food out and going, oh, I've got some food. For 15,000 people, do you think he would be pretty particularly confident that they had a knife sharp enough to be able to slice that food thin enough and enough space to be able to form a line long enough that they would be able to give everybody a piece of food? Do you think you would be that confident? This is why I think he's the hero of this story. Because the disciples had no food. 4,999 other men who should have known better had no food. The day was saved by a small boy with 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. The day was saved for a lot of these hungry people because the boy got brave enough to look in his backpack, take it out, and say, Jesus, I don't have a lot, but I have this feeling that if I give it into your hands, if I give you what I have, I don't have a lot, but if I give it to you, if I give it to you, Jesus, there's going to be a miracle. There's going to be a miracle. How many times in life do we feel we don't have enough? And instead of stepping forward, we step back. Instead of going towards Jesus, we go away from Jesus. Whatever you have in your hand is enough for a miracle in the hand of God. He's a hero. We don't know his name. We don't know his age. He's a hero. Ten and a half years ago. Yeah, he's nodding. No, plus 9 months. Plus 10 months, actually. So that would make it 11 years and three quarters. So Therese and I had been trying to... Some of you guys have heard this story. I don't really care. I've got 3 minutes. I'm going to make the most of it. It's been ages since I've been allowed to do this, so I've got a lot to say. I've forgotten what I was going to say now. Give me a second. 2 minutes. So, 11 and a half years ago, Therese and I had been trying to have a child. And it wasn't working. Well, we were trying. But whatever was going on, you know, we don't need to get graphic about it. And Therese was just sitting down there, kind of where Ashley is. And a visiting speaker said, there's some people in this room who are trying to have a child and it's not working. And Therese said that she would have stood up if I'd stood up, but I was a bit too obstinate and a bit too proud, and I just kind of sat there. I should have stood up then. But God is good. He was working on my heart, and I thought I'd stand up. And I just started to stand up at exact the same time as Don said, oh, and there's a couple having trouble with their marriage. And I stood up just as he was saying that. So I sat down. I was like, not me. No, I'm good. Maybe, but not me. and then he talked about the child baby thing again, so I stood up. And Therese stood up, and they prayed for Therese, and it was great. There were lots of tears, and people, you know, Therese got really hot. I don't know why I said that. She's hot. Just say maybe she got even hotter. I don't know. I've forgotten where I was again. I've run out of time. Okay, that's it. No. No, but so anyway, they prayed for us, and it was beautiful, it was powerful, and Don was walking along and praying for other people and stuff, and then he turned back to Therese and he said, 30 days. I'm pointing at you, Sam, but I'm not saying you. 30 days. You're going to be pregnant in 30 days. And that's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. You know what the weird thing was after that? We had people come up to us and say, ooh, should he have put a number on it? Should he have done that? Had one person take Therese out for a coffee and say, hey, look, just want you to know, things don't always happen. Sometimes they say stuff and don't want you to get disappointed. What that lady didn't know at the time was that Therese was actually already pregnant. It was about 4 or 5 days before the 30 days were up. Therese had a pregnancy test halfway through and just to see if something was happening, and nothing was happening. And she was gutted. Every cell group meeting we go to, we're in a young family. The worst kind of cell group to be in if you're trying to get pregnant. I tell you, everybody was either pregnant, just being pregnant, or just about to be pregnant. I don't know if you can do that. She would go home and cry every Tuesday night. It's not the kind of, like, that. I don't think we ever told our cell group leaders that. It's not the kind of cell, you know, like, as a cell group leader, it's not what you're aiming for, people to go home and cry. It was dark. It was dark. But in that moment, it went from darkness to vivid light. And I got story after story of things that were completely out of my control. The goodness of God, to put it into His hand and to see Him move it from absolute darkness to brilliant, vivid light in an instant. There is a miracle in the hand of God. Whatever your situation is, whatever you need, whatever you're hoping for, there's always hope that God can take what you have and cause you to have a miracle. And if He did it for me, He can do it for you, eh? Yeah. But we're like well and truly out of time. That took 5 minutes, that terrible story at the end there. So I just love you guys, the brothers and sisters in Christ, right? God is good. He's more than able. He can do it. He can do it. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person in this place. I thank you for their heart. I thank you for their devotion. Father, I also thank you for your goodness, for your heart and your devotion towards us. I pray, Lord, that you would cause hope to be stirred up in you and everybody here. That we would take whatever we have, even though we may not feel it as much, and give it into your hands for the dreams and the hopes of the future that we have. Father, would you cause a miracle to happen? Father, where there is lack, I thank you that you are still able. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.